Blog Talk Radio. Capital Markets Today, where industry experts discuss capital markets, trading, real estate, and mortgage lending, is brought to you by Neighborhood Stabilization Capital Management, where private, nonprofit, and public collaboration are providing industry and social solutions as well as investor returns. Please visit www.nscm.us and learn more. Now your host of Capital Markets Today, Louis Amaya.
Welcome to Capital Markets Today. My name is Louis Amaya. HUD has announced the latest sale in their Distressed Asset Sales Program, or DAS, consisting of one offering date with national pools and NSO pools, or Neighborhood Stabilizing Outcome Pools, offered on November 18, 2015. Like the previous DAS sale executed in April, HUD's NSO offerings will include one pool for which only nonprofit bidders or units of local government are eligible to bid. HUD announced significant changes to DAS back in April in order to achieve better outcomes for borrowers. Under the new rules, loan servicers are required to delay foreclosures on a home for a year and evaluate all borrowers facing foreclosure for participation in the government's Home Affordable Modification Program, or HAMP, or a similar loss mitigation program. The improvements to the NSO sales portion of DAS include giving nonprofits a first look at vacant properties, allowing purchasers to resell notes to nonprofits, and offering a pool of loans for nonprofits only. On October 21, 2015, HUD produced a webinar that was geared towards nonprofits outlining the process of obtaining bidder approval, reporting requirements, and required outcomes. The webinar featured Neighborhood Stabilization Capital Management, an investment firm dedicated to working with HUD to promote the DAS program and nonprofit inclusion. HUD Nonprofit Webinar in its entirety, up next on Capital Markets Today.
Neighborhood Stabilization Capital Management was created by a team of individuals from the private, nonprofit, and public sectors who joined forces to create an investment fund to acquire mortgage and real estate related debt nationwide. The Home Preservation Exchange, a nonprofit started by Sharon Pratt, former mayor of Washington, D.C., is the majority owner of NS Capital Management, resulting in mandates and directives to meet social impact objectives while still meeting required investor returns. NS Capital Management has combined private expertise and capital with nonprofit and political expertise and relationships. Please visit www.nscm.us for more information and to download your free ebook from the Investor's Guide series titled Why a Portfolio of Non-Performing Loans May Produce Stable Returns.
Here to moderate the second session, a panel that is really about opportunity. So here at HUD, we understand the opportunities available to nonprofits and for-profits seeking to leverage the benefits of nonprofit partnership, but this panel should serve as a proof of concept. So these partnerships really can and do work, right? And so I'll start with introducing the panel. We have Mr. Harry Sewell from Home Free. We have Mr. Marcos Morales, President and CEO of Hogar Hispano. We have Mr. Louis Amaya of Neighborhood Stabilization Capital Management. We have Mr. Tim Hayes of Southside Community and Housing Development Corporation. We have Ms. Sharon Pratt of Pratt Consulting.
And Home Preservation Exchange.
We have Mr. Michael Hood of Faith Servicing. And we have Mr. Carlos Provolis, Vice President and Portfolio Manager at Bayview Asset Capital. So we'll start with Mr. Harry Sewell. He probably has the most in common with most of our audience as a new, someone who's interested in the nonprofit space and getting involved in the single family loan sales. So we'll start with just a general introduction of your organization and how you view the single family loan sale program as an opportunity to sort of achieve your mission.
Thank you. Home Free USA is a HUD intermediary. It's been in business for 20 years. It was founded in 1995. started as a housing counseling agency and then during the downturn began to receive gifts of REO properties from banks. And that's really what brought us into this business. We see the loan sale as a great opportunity to complement anyone who has already been doing foreclosure prevention counseling. Over the last several years, many nonprofit organizations have gotten involved with either the government foreclosure programs like HAMP and HARP, or with proprietary foreclosure programs that banks were operating. And the same skill set that you've used to help families avert foreclosure and stay in their home, are the same skill sets that you would use to get notes to reperform. Secondly, for nonprofits who have been engaged in any type of neighborhood revitalization activity, very often the vacant properties that you're working on will be in the same neighborhoods where there may be notes that would be subject to foreclosure. So we see this as a good complement to the skill sets that have been developed by nonprofits over the past several years and to the neighborhood revitalization activities that many of us are involved in.
Okay. Are you interested in just retrade opportunities or also direct sale opportunities through the nonprofit and NSO pools or pool opportunities?
Really all of the above. We're starting out in the retrade space. We think that what FHA has done provides a great opportunities for nonprofits to be able to participate in that a sale to a nonprofit achieves that NSO outcome. We're also looking forward to becoming a qualified bidder in our own right. Plus, we're looking at, we know that the program allows for direct sales to units of local government. Many nonprofits have relationships with the local governments in their jurisdictions, so we're looking at opportunities to partner with units of local government as they begin to get involved in this space as well.
Okay. And finally, in what areas do you operate primarily?
For us, our primary areas are the D.C. metro area, Baltimore, the Atlanta metro area, and South Florida.
Okay, great. So, Mr. Morales, can you tell us a little bit about your organization and how your interest in the program?
Yes. Okay. So, I'm Marcos Morales. Hogar Hispano Inc. was formed in 2004 by National Council of La Raza to do economic stabilization activities within the network of affiliates that they serve. In 2010, they asked me to come help them to respond to this national crisis that we were all undergoing and facing, and they asked what areas we should be in. And so at the same time, as Mr. Sewell said, there were a lot of donations going out by the banks and the trust and other entities, and so we thought we should get into the REO space and we should get into the loan pool acquisition space to actually support the NSP program, which was far-reaching but not all-encompassing. And we felt it was important for us to be able to further that economic recovery by targeting areas that weren't specifically targeted by NSB or the network of affiliate organizations that were already responding to some of those. And so that's how we got into this space. And we decided that loan pool acquisition was one of great importance in order to avoid declining values, deteriorating values in our neighborhoods that were being served by these NSP funds. But again, if the NSP funds are supporting recovery and then there's continued foreclosure and continued discounted sales, that hurt the recovery. So that's why we thought we should get in a loan pool and do foreclosure prevention and home ownership preservation.
Right. So you are unique on the panel in that you have successfully purchased a pool in the past as a nonprofit. Can you tell us a little bit about that experience, qualifying, the due diligence process, and even the reporting?
Okay, yes. So prior to this purchase, this first nonprofit pool that came out, we had acquired 500 other loans from other private sector areas, and we had actually submitted in one of the first of the NSO pools that came out, I believe it was in 2012. And so when this nonprofit bid came out, you know, we were excited, you know, to participate. The process itself was somewhat daunting, except if you take the time to read it and do your research. We talk about due diligence, not just due diligence of assets, but due diligence of the process, then it's not as daunting. And, of course, preparation is always important. And so being sure that we were prepared, had the financial wherewithal to be able to even consider bidding, I think was the biggest challenge. And when we realized and understood that we did have that capacity, then the document process itself wasn't that complex. And it was supported. The HUD staff was very supportive. If there was questions, I was able to ask those questions. So it wasn't extremely daunting, but yes, it is challenging.
Okay, and can you tell us a little bit about your funding sources?
Yeah, so, there's very limited grant funds, and a lot of the grant funds and NSP dollars had already been deployed. And so we understood that we had to come up with a strategy that was non-traditional. And so what we did is we went out and found private capital and were able to show them the opportunity that existed. Private capital obviously wants to have bottom dollar, bottom line outcomes, but we were able to show them how they're supporting our mission and our purpose, and being able to deliver on the public purpose was also profitable if done properly. And so we were able to attract capital, and we have various capital sources now that are willing to participate with us at all levels of purchase in this space.
Great. Mr. Amaya, we understand you've qualified to bid for NSO pools in the past, and so I'd like to ask you as well about funding sources, any successes you've had in getting private funding, or if you've been able to get grant funding or public funding in the past.
Sure. Neighborhood Stabilization Capital Management is unique in the sense that I've come from the private sector over to the nonprofit sector somewhat. So our firm, my background is 25 plus years in capital markets, trading and mortgage banking at various different large, platforms. But what we saw as an opportunity with the government being so involved in the mortgage market, we launched a new fund where we did partner with nonprofits. And our current for-profit fund, NS Capital Management, is owned 51% by a nonprofit. But what that allowed us to do was bring in the capabilities of the private sector and the ability to raise private capital with the track record, with the credibility and the relationships at the federal and state levels with the government and nonprofits. So we raised capital from the private sector because that's what I've done historically. We were able to convince the private capital that there's you can have an impact and make money at the same time. It's not a zero-sum game in this space. And there's lots of unique opportunities if you can build the right unique channels with the right relationships to take advantage of the current marketplace and succeed in your impact mission as well as develop a decent return for your investors. And that's really what the key to this space is developing a business model that can generate real revenues, spin off real fee income for the nonprofits, put the nonprofits to work doing what they do best, which is borrower outreach and face-to-face communication, but bring to bear the private expertise in asset management, trading, pricing, modeling, cash flow management, fund administration, all that, and scale it up to the extent that we feel like there's an opportunity out there. So short answer, we raise capital from private institutions. We talk to private wealth, institutional capital, hedge funds on a regular basis.
Okay, great. And also, since you have qualified for a number of transactions in the past, you have some experience doing due diligence on HUD pools. What's that experience like? And have you relied primarily on the resources provided by HUD, or do you go out and get your own BPOs, et cetera?
That's a great question. HUD does a great job in presenting the due diligence in such a way that it makes it fairly transparent to the buyer of what's being sold. So we do these types of trades and regular NPL trades, and the files and the documents that we get on the non-NSO or the non-governmental trades sometimes can be very messy, missing assignments, missing collateral, things really disorganized, and we're going through the data room trying to find information. But for the HUD loans, what's unique about the HUD transactions is that we know that every single loan was at one time FHA insured. So that ensures to me that the quality, the structural quality of the loan is there. So the loan itself may be in disarray or delinquent or have legal issues or have other stuff going on, but what's most important is the structural integrity of the loan. We have, and plus with the reps and warrants that HUD offers, we know that the loan itself structurally for them is going to be there. So we spend most of our time in due diligence in valuations. So we do take your valuations. We do some desk reviews, and if we see some variances, we'll order maybe another BPO. And we spend most of our time in the servicing file looking at pay histories and servicing comments, because what we're trying to determine is, you know, we're trying to get ahead of the borrower, how engaged the borrower is, and to be able to identify ability and willingness to be able to structure some type of situation. So I really commend HUD on the due diligence that we have set that up. It makes buying these types of transactions much easier.
Right. On maybe what percentage of the assets you've reviewed in the past have you needed to actually go out and get your own BPOs?
Probably about 25% to 30%. You know, because we have a desk review process that will score the BPO, and we also, you know, most of the time the BPO is relatively recent, so right. That helps. And then if it misses a certain score, then we'll go out and spend the money and get an additional BPO on it.
Okay, thank you, Mr. Hayes. You are with Southside Community and Housing Development Corporation. So my understanding is that you've been involved in retrades in the past with Bayview. Can you tell us your experience a little bit in the retrade space and a quantity of loans purchased, when this has happened? And
good deal. You know, just a quick insight to Southside is a community development housing corporation that grew out of a church in a community that was tremendously underserved. It's been operating about 25 years. Over the years, you know, it moved from single housing, you know, single family housing, to multifamily, to senior living. So there's a wide bandwidth of those type of services that we provide. What I'll do is I'll get a tad bit granular, because we are, you know, a 501c3, and there's some insights I think that are very critical that as nonprofits kind of begin this process that they need to really consider. And I promise you I'll answer your question. My wife will often say, you're not answering my question, but I promise you I will. So I think that the big thing that the nonprofits have to realize is that there is a HUD interface, but behind that there is an opportunity where you can get frustrated really, really quickly. I think that the HUD interface with Marlene's team was great. It was clear, it was concise, and we were able to follow it. But what you have to understand is that, and I have experience also in private markets, is that capital investors, there's a different stress test level you have to go through. So we spend a significant amount of time of doing due diligence with the investor to include, and I'm a big note writer, so, you know, they did financial analysis, organizational analysis, our historical track record, and yes, we had to do background checks. You know, and so every key team person had to walk through that process. And I think a lot of times as nonprofits, we don't always get that, is that, you know, capital markets are one way, you know, funding is another way. So I think that's really critical that people understand that process. And actually, we were told that, you know, some organizations that had qualified previously, because of bad background checks, they were disqualified. So we walked through that process. But I think the larger, more complex issue is board approval. I mean, we probably spent, and Lewis, I think you would agree, we probably spent like 4 or 5 months just trying to navigate our board adopting a more entrepreneurial capital markets approach. So we had to do things such as, you know, it's great that everything was brought to us, but we had to independently validate, you know, our market, you know, is there really a market opportunity for us? You know, we did our own internal financial analysis, and there was a whole process of deal structuring, you know, balance sheet impact, you know, off balance sheet risk, and we had to structure through that. And I think a big piece for 501c3s to think about is that there's a huge reputation risk. If you don't perform, you know, there's a huge reputation piece. Entrepreneurial investment. And then last but not least is the capital requirements. You know, I won't quote our actual legal bill, but I think Sharon and I, we talked about it one time, and it was significant to structure the transaction properly to make sure that we were, you know, within that. And so you also asked, so let me answer that question. So the trades that we've done have been, I think the largest was about 38 to 40, notes. And so we're still kind of navigating that process. But, you know, we're hopeful to kind of keep that moving forward.
Great. And Ms. Pratt, I believe you were involved in that as well. Do you have anything to add to?
Okay, I'm Sharon Pratt, and I'm with the Home Preservation Exchange, which is a nonprofit. It's the nonprofit partner of what Louis Amaya defined as the NS Capital Management Organization. And by way of background, Home Preservation Exchange actually was launched as a result of a series of conversations with all the major stakeholders in the wake of the foreclosure crisis. People were desperate to figure out how do we start stabilizing our neighborhoods. And so there were a series of conversations with federal officials, state officials, nonprofit players, as well as for-profit players. And it culminated in a meeting at the Ford Foundation in New York where it underscores the significance and importance of what HUD is doing, where the bottom line notion was the only way we're going to stabilize our neighborhoods is if we start getting a hold of these notes, that the best way to achieve positive outcomes for preserving home ownership, stabilizing neighborhoods, was to get your hand on these assets. And the general consensus was, and we had people there on the National Mortgage a settlement board. I mean, you know, it's just a variety of perspectives. But the only way you're going to do this on an ongoing basis is to be able to raise private capital, which means that you've, even though you're mission-oriented, you've got to have a solid business model where you can continue to attract private capital. So with that, it was decided Home Preservation Exchange had to be established, go out and find the appropriate for-profit partners, which was PIMCO with the E, which is a HUD REO asset manager. And with that, of course, at that gathering in New York, fortunately for all of us, was Louis Amaya. And then Louis and I started talking, and a number of core groups started talking to include some Yale Law School instructors, and that's how NS Capital Management came about. Our role at HPE significantly is to help thread together all of these disparate cultures. For-profits have one mindset. Nonprofits, as Tim points out, have another mindset. Government has another mindset. And so each of us has to be answerable, you know, to different constituents. And so it's a challenge to thread together these three cultures in a way that makes sense for all parties and absolutely gives you the kind of returns and achieves the kind of mission you need in a short period of time. Our role is at Home Preservation Exchange is to do that. We reached out to Home Free and Southside for purposes of pursuing the opportunity HUD provided with the NSO outcome of retrades.
Okay. I'm curious, do you guys have any internal rules regarding like a waterfall approach to your asset management? When you service loans, do you look for reperform first? What is your ideal scenario, and what's your approach to asset management and servicing?
Well, again, I think that, you know, Southside's history has been about home ownership. So the ultimate objective, and I think Marlene stressed this, was that the ultimate outcome is a reperformance. And so we are working toward that process, toward that end. However, if we can't, I think there are other opportunities where, you know, it could be, as an example, we have several properties in our portfolio now that we are allowing people to lease, but they understand that after a three-year period, they'll convert to home ownership. So they've got some skin in the game. They're working toward a desirable outcome. So we really focus on that. In several assets, we partnered with Home Free because we are some of the assets that we acquire are outside of our service area. And again, we try to strategically partner with groups that have a similar mindset of home ownership, creating, you know, creating opportunity for people to grow. And that's one of the reasons why we work with Home Free. So,
Can I jump on that? I mean, I think it's important to understand that neighborhood stabilization is about home ownership. It's either about keeping the current homeowner in, or if there's not an ability for the current homeowner to get a new homeowner in an underserved kind of market profile, low to moderate income homeowner in that house. So what we try to do in NS Capital, it's either about providing two outcomes, homeowner retention or affordable housing. And it's important to understand because a lot of the loans that HUD is selling, also specifically to the REIT trades, 3, 4, 5 years delinquent, 150% LTV, and there is not a lot there. And so the opportunity for stabilizing neighborhoods is getting someone who fits a profile that meets our mandate in that home as a home buyer to purchase that home, take care of that home, and stabilize that neighborhood and not have blight sitting there for foreclosures for 3 or 4 or 5 years.
Right. Does your organization have any rules outside of the NSO rules specifically? Like we have a goal of 50% non-foreclosure for each NSO pool. Do the nonprofits have rules like that separate of the NSO requirements?
For us, you know, everything's an asset level decision. So we look at a particular asset and determine whether or not we can get it cash flowing based on certain characteristics during the due diligence process, but then even further once we own the loan. So yeah, the waterfall is homeowner retention the first go around. However, it's important to understand that if the borrower is not going to perform or there's not ability or willingness, that it does move through the process so we can get the home out to an end user that's going to purchase the home and live in it. But it is homeowner retention and waterfall from there.
And that's really one of the critical things that nonprofit organizations bring to the table. They're known in their communities. They're trusted in their communities. They can do that outreach. They can do that door knock. And perhaps where letters have gone unanswered, phone calls have gone unanswered, that knock on the door by a neighborhood organization that people recognize that name at least has a better chance of getting a response. So we think that's a good thing that nonprofits can bring to the table.
Right. And we also add, we take it a little bit further than the 50% criteria. And quite frankly, our outcome is the community, the benefit to the community. So from our perspective, we not only want to get homeowner retention, but we also want to, we understand there's going to be foreclosure, so we also want to have new home ownership opportunities. And so we'll go as far as doing seller carry financing in a circumstance after a property has been foreclosed. We find a buyer. The buyer maybe doesn't quite qualify for a traditional mortgage, so we'll go ahead and be the lender in that area. We'll also do rent with option to purchase. Obviously, that's a strategy that everyone seems to deploy. It's one of the strategies within HUD. But we're not just at 50%. We're more at 100%. We want to be 100% community outcome. Right. We want every asset that's foreclosed on is not a good outcome at that for that particular homeowner. But there's another potential homeowner that can have a good outcome. So we try to repurpose all of our assets to income qualified home buyers. We try to reinvest in that asset. If it needs some improvements, we don't want to just sell it as is. We want to do the paint and the carpet and, you know, prep it for a new buyer so it is like a new home. And so that's our goal. Of course, it's not a easily achievable goal, especially when you have capital participants who have other agendas. But if we clarify that on the front end with our capital partners and they understand those objectives. So we do take it further, and to Harry's point, as nonprofits, we have the ability to do that at a much easier scale than all of the for-profits.
Yeah, you know, the nonprofits, the work doesn't stop with the door knock, because as the asset moves through, we work with many nonprofits who work on qualifying new homeowners that are trying to get back in homeownership and maybe have tight credit or can't get back in as a result of the current credit ability. And so we work with nonprofits as these move through the process to source potential home buyers into these particular homes. So very much like Hogar, it's the repurpose of the asset. And the objective is 100%.
Right.
But it's neighborhood stabilization. It has several different components.
Sure.
And so we strive to reach 100% on all those types of objectives.
Great. So I'd like to turn to some of our for-profit folks. We'll start with Mr. Hood. Can you speak to the benefits that nonprofit partnerships can have for you as a servicer of single-family loan sale notes?
Yeah, good afternoon, everybody. This is Mike Hood with Faith Servicing. And just as a bit of background, Faith Servicing is a diversified mortgage services company that specializes in servicing distressed and non-performing residential whole loans. And I have to hand it to my fellow panelists who made it very easy to answer this question, as they've hammered those points home, I think, repeatedly over the last 20 minutes with regards to the partnerships and how they can be useful, not only for us, but for the investors with whom we subservice for. So if you think about kind of the value proposition, and ultimately what we're trying to do is keep all of these borrowers in their homes, right? We want to go ahead and create as many non-foreclosure resolution outcomes as possible. And so the first thing that you have to do is actually get in contact with the underlying borrowers. So if you think about the HUD programs, a lot of times these borrowers have been delinquent. They've been at larger box servicers. You know, they've kind of been beaten up and probably, you know, given up. And so when you go ahead and send letters, when you make phone calls, oftentimes they don't realize that it's somebody else, someone different on the phone, truly trying to help them. So with regards to door knockers, we found that very valuable to go ahead and partner with the not-for-profits, to go out there, knock on the door, shake a hand, and say, here, you know, your loan is now being serviced by Faye. Here is a loan modification platform and program. Here's what you need to do to fill it out. Go ahead and call Faye with any questions that you may have, which leads into the second part, where, you know, not-for-profits and the partnerships are very helpful on the credit counseling or the non-foreclosure counseling. Because, you know, in the packages that we sign or send out, only 5% of the actual modification packages that come back are fully filled out, right? So then you can imagine the process of, despite the fact that, you know, in our model, they're only talking with one account manager, going back and forth, getting to know them really well, it becomes very laborious for the borrower to say, okay, you know, I need additional financial information. I need, you know, some more bank statements, et cetera. If we can team with not-for-profits to go ahead, go into the house, help them fill out those applications, whether it be for a HAMP mod or hardest hit funds or what have you, it becomes a lot more seamless all the way through the process. And lastly, we'll talk a little bit about the you know, the kind of private and not-for-profit partnership with regards to buying the ultimate notes. Many times our clients with whom we service for are looking for alternative solutions. And so if there's a particular area that you have in focus that that you you know, really like and are going to be a good bid for that, our clients will absolutely go ahead and take a look at selling you those properties on a resale perspective. So you know, it's in all of those ways, it's very helpful to team up with the not-for-profits.
Great. And Mr. Provolis, I'm going to let you sort of introduce yourself and talk a bit about Bayview. I know you guys have been one of our biggest buyers, and so we'd like to hear about what your strategies are with the NSO pools and with some of these partnership opportunities with the nonprofits.
Thank you, Jelani. I worked at Bayview for 11 years. We're a company that is both a buyer of non-performing loans, especially through the HUD program, but we're also a servicer. My role there is to figure out the best servicing strategies for the notes that we buy. And when it comes to strategies, very much like everyone in this panel, our belief is that home retention is the best thing that can happen. So in that sense, we offer plenty of programs for borrowers to take advantage of home preservation. We offer HAMP with principal forgiveness as an option. We offer our own proprietary program as well in that process. And sometimes if the customer is either not occupying the home or they want a fresh start by moving out of there, we provide deed in lieu and short sale programs along with relocation assistance to help in that effort. But a lot of times it just comes down to outreach. like Mike mentioned, we make a lot of calls, we send out a lot of letters, and levering a local presence, like Harry mentioned, those very powerful door knocks is one of the best ways to go. And we can do that in a couple of ways. We've done it through retreats, where we found partners that have the wherewithal to take on the full loan and deploy the way that they add servicing value, deploy those door knockers, deploy the way that they can manage the properties, offer solutions like seller financing. And that's what we found in Southside. We found a partner that we've already done trades with and we're going to do future trades with that is a long-term solution for us in that when we identify assets, they can come in and help. The other way is through the engagement of local agencies, very much, again, echoing what Mike mentioned. We engage some of the local partners that can help us do not only door knocking, but home retention workshops, make calls, just do what we can to take this disenfranchised borrower and getting them to engage. Once we have engagement, we offer as many solutions as possible so they can retain the home.
And kind of as a final question, the reporting requirements, when looking at nonprofit partners, what do you have to do in order to make sure that you're able to report on these loans going forward after a retrade?
So if it's in a situation like Southside where we had NSO assets that once we traded them to Southside, we were able to get approval from HUD such that the trade itself counted as an NSO outcome. And in that sense, that's how we would report it. In some other instances, we're working with nonprofits. In the event that we trade it without an NSO outcome, we will agree with that entity to continue giving us information that we need necessary to conduct the reporting that is required.
Great. Thank you. So I guess I'll just give you guys an opportunity to add anything else, any of you, if you'd like. And if not, we can conclude the panel session.
Just one last thing is for the benefit of nonprofits, when structuring these deals with private partners, or as they start to think about getting into the loan purchase business, to ensure that they're understanding the asset management piece effectively so they are building in enough fee income to create a viable operation. So we've seen a lot of nonprofits who maybe gotten into a trade and not be around for a second trade. So it's very important to understand the asset management piece, the fees that should be charged, and the management fees, the acquisition fees for their partner to ensure that they're not only effectively managing the transaction, but they're generating enough revenue to be around for trade number 2, 3, and 4. That's something that is often overlooked in these type of discussions. I just want to mention that.
And along with that, as someone else mentioned, make sure that there is that alignment between the goals of the nonprofit and your capital partner. And as Marcus said, you want to have that alignment up front. You want to understand what are they seeking to get out of this versus what are you seeking to do. And if there's that alignment, you can go forward. And if not, I would recommend that you not go forward because you're going to have a lot of conflicts down the road.
Yeah, and I think from my perspective, to Tim's point earlier, your board participation is critical. You have to keep your board informed of all that you're doing. And you have to be able to understand the risk because it is a very risky space to get into, and one deal could literally sink your organization. But at the same time, if you understand the risk, if you prepare well, if your board is participating, it's also a very positive and lucrative and mission-driven activity that an organization could consider and should consider.
I just want to underscore the value of just having this conversation, and I do thank HUD for having it, because at the end of the day, it's the collaboration that I think will allow us to have an impact in this space. It's still a huge problem. There's still a lot of people out here suffering. But at the same time, we have to address the financial hemorrhaging that was taking place at FHA as a result of that crisis. So how do you continue to address it in a way that advances a real core American mission of home ownership, but makes sense to private investors. The only way we're going to get there and reach all those homeowners and achieve all those objectives is to continue to have this kind of collaboration with the government, with private sector players, as well as the not-for-profits. Easier said than done, but I really do appreciate today's conversation because it underscores the value of that collaboration, which is, I think, essential to moving forward.
We have a couple of questions from out here, so I might need to repeat them. I'm not sure if I heard.
Sure.
So looking at the partnering as an illustration, how did the Bayview-Southside relationship come about?
Actually, it started out when HUD brought us together back in February, pardon me, when we did a similar workshop to talk about the nonprofit participation in the space. And at the time, following a panel like this, we had a, call it a speed dating round, where a lot of us got to meet each other. I met Lewis, I met Sharon, I met Harry, and we exchanged information, and thereafter we sort of figure out, okay, which are the ways that we can work. Eventually got introduced to Southside and Tim, and that's just how it happened. It's just a matter of getting to know each other, finding out how we can add value to the equation from each side, and then moving on to the solutions.
One other question. We always like to get good feedback, but where are the places that HUD can improve working with nonprofits and smaller purchasers, if there are any?
Where are the places that HUD can improve?
Well, I mean, I think, in particularly when you contrast it with other efforts, I think HUD's come quite a ways. It's a small staff. I've been in the government. I've tried to run a government, so I know how hard it is, you know, to try to pull this off. I think we've got to keep thinking through ways that nonprofits can afford to be engaged so we can fully capitalize on their skill sets, you know, in the way Harry pointed out. It's not an easy fit, as Tim stated in Marcos. I mean, just getting your board on board and keeping them on board. It's not an easy fit, but we desperately need them there. We've got to keep thinking through ways that nonprofits can be engaged. We know that the door knocking is good. I think the opportunities in acquiring REOs may be good, but I think we all have to remain alert to make certain this is an easier fit because it's a more natural fit in some ways for a private sector player than it is for a not-for-profit sector.
I like to agree. I mean, HUD's done a fantastic job at spearheading these types of efforts. I think the biggest benefit that HUD can provide for this effort is really to continue to scale it, show how it's working, and maybe give a little bit a nudge to Fannie and Freddie as well.
Exactly. I think if you had asked that question a year ago, I would have said enforcement, ensuring nonprofit participation, pool size to allow nonprofits to participate, and they've done all of that, and so. From my perspective, I think that they've done all they can do to ensure nonprofit participation. At least from my perspective, the next step is the nonprofits that are willing to take that risk and have that board that's willing to allow them to take that risk and have that capital relationship that's properly structured so they don't lose sight of their mission and purpose. In my opinion, the enforcement was my greatest fear. You know, there was these 50% waterfall outcomes, but there, you know, the enforcement didn't seem to be there, but now it is, and the reporting criteria is now, you know, with the electronic reporting that the gentleman Sal was talking about earlier. I think that's going to be extremely helpful for everyone.
John, maybe ask the teams that also want to get involved that haven't yet been involved, they can use that same website and go ahead and, you know, appeal to us at HUD directly. You know, if they're not making a connection, you folks mentioned that this was helpful, but other, short of doing these like once a month, we still welcome the feedback and welcome the participation, so just put it out there, or they can contact us through
the ProSale reporting tool, through emails. Right.
Yeah, just right. Outreach is great, and we'll be happy to try to facilitate from there. As we know teams are interested, we can pass around names and folks who can interface with them. So.
Right. If you know there is any if there is interest, and I'm sure there is, in these opportunities we've been talking about today, certainly send in any feedback or any messages to the assetsales@hud.gov website. Right, email address. Apologies.
Sure. We all can stay put. It's kind of a wrap up right now. But thank you, Jelani. One of the questions we got before is about nonprofits seeking to become a HUD approved nonprofit. One of the answers we received was that if you email HUD at answers@hud.gov or call 1-800-CALL-FHA, they can give you the information about how to become a HUD approved nonprofit. So that was really good. Another question we got was the PowerPoint slides that we were kind of going through, would that be available to registrants or anybody? We're actually going to put that on the asset sales website so people can pull those down. And just want to do a couple of thank yous. Thank you to the Verde consulting team. They're our transaction specialist. A lot of you might have gotten an invitation from Verde. They helped us with the invitations and RSVPs and everything else. Thanks to the SP group. They came to help us out today, and they've always been a good support. Thank you, of course, to NOVAD and Emacs. And also, I just want one last thanks. There's a few asset sales folks who weren't on the panel, but we couldn't do these sales without them. Sinai Cham, Harold Eccles, Nikisha Joyner-Wiggins, and Winneka Harris. And that's it. Thank you all very much.
Thank you. Capital Markets Today is a leading industry content provider. Please visit Capital Markets Today at www.capital-mt.com for industry data, downloads, news, blogs, and to listen on demand to all past podcasts. Don't forget to subscribe to Capital Markets Today on iTunes to have the latest podcasts downloaded to your smartphone automatically, giving you the flexibility to listen at your convenience.